Well, good morning. It is wonderful to hear that singing. There's going to come a day, though, when all of us will be able to sing like that. Won't that be something? What a day that will be. If you would, turn over to the Gospel of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17, if you would. Begin with verse 5. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Father, we do thank you for your love to us. For your mercy, for your grace that we find so freely given us in our precious Jesus. We pray, dear Lord, that you would come this morning with power. Precious Holy Spirit, we do pray that you would come and you would search us. You would search out our hearts, and you would try our reins. And by the word that is before us, that you would work mightily in our lives, reveal to us our need. We are dull of hearing. We are like sheep that all have gone astray. Father, we admit that we are sinners. We pray, Father, that that would not just be words that we say, but that we would know it. That we would truly find out our need of Christ this morning. And that by grace, free and sovereign grace, we would be brought to the cross of Calvary and we would see the blood that was shed. And Father, we would know those sins to be put away. That we would truly cry out, Jesus has paid it all. All to Him we owe. Father, we pray this morning that you would be our help and our strength for Christ's sake. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. We won't read it. We're going to go all the way down through verse 11 this morning, and we'll read it as we go. But there's a lot here, so we will begin. Verse 5 of Jeremiah chapter 17 says these words, "Thus saith the Lord." That's the best place to start any message right there. Thus saith the Lord. This is the word of God. There's going to be some things that are going to be said this morning. There are going to be truths that are spoken. And there may be those, I do not know, that may go home and they may say, well, the preacher that stood up before me this morning, he said my heart was deceitful above all things. He actually said that to me. He said that my heart was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Well, I want you to know that this is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And if you do have a problem with what is said this morning, which I look out here and I do not see many that will, but if you do, you know that you're not having a problem with me, that your problem was with God. Because God is the one who is saying these words. Thus saith the Lord. Now listen to what he says. Cursed be the man that trusteth in men. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Now before we begin looking around at and looking for those that may be possibly trusting in man, I want you to understand something. This is all men, naturally speaking. This is all men in the flesh. This is you, this is me, apart from Christ. If it were not for the grace of God in our lives, if it were not for the working of the Holy Spirit revealing to us what we are in our need of Christ, then we would be found trusting in men. And if God leads us for 1 second, that's exactly where we're going to go. We're going to begin to trust in men. That's what we will do. Naturally, natural man, Adamic man, he trusts in man. This is what he does. We believe in the total depravity. Total depravity. This is the will of man. The will of man is to trust in man, is to trust in himself. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, maketh flesh his power. This is man. This is natural man. His natural man makes flesh his strength, his power. He has no desire whatsoever to trust in God. He has no desire whatsoever to look to God for his strength and for his power. As our days, so shall be our strength. Right? We just heard the song. Our strength is in the Lord. But that is only by grace that we know those things. It is only by grace that we have been taught that. And oh, apart from it, we would be trusting in ourselves. We would be trusting in the arm of the flesh. And so often in our lives, if we are honest, we will find out in our lives where it is we have been trusting in the flesh. Where it is that we have been trusting in our own arm and not the arm of God. And God is gracious to us. He is gracious to us. And He reveals to us in our lives where these things are lived out. He maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Now this is the bend of natural man. His heart is one that departs from the Lord. Consistently. Consistently. People stand up in before congregations all the time and they say these words. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. You will not come to Christ apart from the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because natural man departs from God. That's what he does. That's what he does. And oh, the power of the Spirit would be here this morning, drawing men unto himself, to Jesus Christ, our King. Verse 6 goes on. It says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, like this little shrub in the desert that's growing in the desert. And shall not see when good cometh. Now, we need to stop here for a minute. Because we're talking about natural man here in this text. We're talking about the man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. That man who has not been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is who we are talking about. And it says, the scripture says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. And shall not see when good cometh. What is good? We read this morning Romans 8, verse 28. For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What is this good that we are talking about? What would be the good that the heath would see? That this shrub in the desert would see? If it could see, what would be the good that it would see? It would see rain. Wouldn't it? It would see rain falling from heaven. Turn over real quick to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 6. Now this is very important we get this. Because we need to know what good is. Verse 26 says, of chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles says, when the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee,
Yet if they pray towards this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, whom thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. This, about 3 weeks ago, if you remember, there had been no rain for a long time. And it, around our house, it was dry. It was dry. They had planted the corn, and the corn was just this high, and it was parched, and it you drive down the cracks in the fields, and you drive down the road, and the dust clouds were mile high. I mean, it was terrible how dusty it was and dry. But then the rain came, and it fell upon the corn, and now two, three weeks later, you drive down the road, the corn's above your head. It's 6 feet tall. I mean, you could have sat there and you could have watched it grow. What we need to understand is that the rain spoken of in 2 Chronicles here is the anti-type of the rain that we see out in the fields. The rain that we see falling down on the corn in the fields is the type. It's the type. Now we got to get that right, because we've got to understand what good is. You see, so many of us, and I'm going to point to myself because the heart is deceitful above all things. We're going to look at that here in just a minute. But what we believe is that the rain that falls in the fields is what is the good. See? And so we will ask ourselves and say, well, what did we do to get all this rain? If we read 2 Chronicles and we believe that the rain that is falling down is the literal rain in the fields, we would ask ourselves, well, we must have did something right in order to get all this rain. God is good. God is good. And that is a type of the rain that falls in the soul. This is what we're speaking of. We're talking about the Spirit's work in the souls of God's people. When does the rain fall in the soul? So often it's when the ground is parched here on this earth. It's when the trial and the trouble and the temptations come in this earth. And what does that cause God's people to do? It caused God's people to seek in the Word of God, the water of life. And God in His goodness brings these things into our lives to draw us to the Word, that we might seek out Him who is our life, who is the water of life. And the rain falls in the soul. And we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And our souls resemble the fields after the waters have fallen on them. Our souls look like that. Now, I'm just telling you, there's so many people that truly believe that the good is the corn growing high in the fields. The good is the soul. It's the rain falling here. It's Christ being seen and growing. We grow in the knowledge of the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And oh, that those rains would come in the soul. And that we would know the goodness. Well, this heath doesn't know anything about it. See? It doesn't see those rains. And there are many professing Christians out here today. They don't see those rains. You know why? They're too consumed with this world. They're too consumed with the blessings that they believe that this world has to offer them. The health, the wealth, the prosperity that they find in this world. That's their riches. That's their riches. And they know nothing of the rain that falls in the soul. They know nothing of it. But this one who trusts in man, this one who maketh flesh his arm, this one whose heart departs from the Lord, he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, the dry places, in a salt land, and not inhabit dead, sterile, no life, no life, no spiritual life, you see. Verse 7 goes on. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Now, who is that? Who is that? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He is the man that trusts in the Lord, that trusted fully in the Lord, never wavering. Never wavering. Can this be said about you? Can it? But there's only one way it can be. There's only one way it can be. It's if you're in the one who fully trusted in the Lord. And if you are, if you're united to Him, vitally unified to Jesus Christ, if you are in Him, this can be said about you. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Is He our hope? Is He our hope? Are we in the one who hoped continually in the Lord His God, Jehovah God, the man Christ Jesus? Verse 8, listen to what it says. For He, that's Christ, shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots. So that's interesting. Why does it say He, and then it says her? Why does it say that? Do you remember in Ephesians chapter 5, what it says? It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And then He goes on at the end of Ephesians chapter 5, He says, it's a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and His church. If you read the book of the Song of Solomon, and you believe that it's just a marriage handbook, and that's all it is, you're missing the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon is all about Christ and His church. It's about the man Christ Jesus and His body, His bride, His church. Who is this her in this passage? And that spreadeth out her roots by the river. It's the church of the living God. It's God's true people who spread out their roots seeking the water of life. We go into the Word of God seeking Christ. That's what we go into this Word to do. We must find Christ. So often we read the Bible like it's just some history book. It's His story. It's the story of Christ. And oh, that we would be searching Him out, seeking Him out, for He is the water of life. But that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when He cometh. You heard the story of the martyrs? Have you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs? So many of them, when they were brought and they were put on the stake, you know what they were doing? When the fires came up around them, they were singing to the Lord. They had a smile on their face. They were witnessing to the man lighting the fire underneath them. They were singing to the Lord. You know why? Because their roots ran into the water of life. They were united to Christ and they knew it. They knew it. Oh, they shall not see when He cometh. And her leaf shall be green. Green. In times of trial, in times, the parched times that we see in this earth. The times of tribulation and trouble. And they're going to come. They're going to come. But God's church, the leaves on God's true church, they're going to be green because they're tapped into Christ. They're tapped into the water of life. Oh, that one who's out in that desert. No leaf there. No leaf there. Oh, that we would know Christ. And not be careful in the year of drought. It goes on. Not be careful in the year of drought. There's a lot of trees in the time of drought. They go dormant. They drop their leaves and they just, for all sakes and purposes, they go dead. Why? Because they know that they're going to run out of water. God's people aren't like that. We're not going to run out of water. Christ is the eternal water. He's the spring of living water. Oh, that we would live in Him and not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Why? Because the fruit of the true church of God is the Spirit's fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Oh, that we would see that. That increase in the church. And we would see the fruit of the Spirit truly in the church of God. Verse 9. Now listen to this. Listen to verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, first and foremost, I believe it means the heart is deceitful above all things. Right? Let me show you a few passages. Psalm 58, verse 3. We'll stick in the Psalms. Psalm 58, verse 3. Says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That's all men, women, boys and girls born into this world. They go astray and they are born speaking lies, speaking deceit. Psalm 62. Slip over. Psalm 62. Listen to verse 4. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth and they curse inwardly. If you go to Romans chapter 3 and read Romans chapter 3, that's a picture of natural man. It's what you are and I am apart from Christ. That's what we are. The heart is deceitful above all things. Number two about this, I think we see in this text, is that the heart desires deceit above all things. It desires it. It desires deceit above all things. Psalm 52. Psalm 52, verse 3. Listen to these words. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Verse 4. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. Our hearts, our natural hearts, they desire deceit above all things. Have you ever looked around and seen things that reveal that in others? Now listen to what I'm going to say to you. The good about that is not you sitting back and like the Pharisee in the temple, saying, thank God I'm not like the person that's being deceived. See? Because God has brought that person into your life for good. And the reason why He brought that person into your life is to show you things about yourself. See? Your kids are like that. My kids are like that. See? I see things in my kids sometimes that really make me upset. And I say, I don't know how, I don't know why they would do that, I don't know how they could do that. But then the Lord comes with power into my life by the Word and reveals to me, you know what? Your child, I'm teaching you by your child what you are doing to me. See? That's the good. So often we end right there with our children and we get upset, we get angry, we get frustrated with them. We begin to take it up. What should we do? We need to pray. Pray that God the Holy Spirit would work in us and reveal to us where it is in our lives this lesson is teaching us about. For we know all things work together for good to them that love God. But there are things in our lives when we look and we see these things and we know people are being deceived. They're being deceived. Now listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. And it needs to be said in the church. Because I see families being ripped apart and torn apart by social media. And you may say that you shouldn't bring that up in church. I'm going to tell you, we got to start bringing it up in church. Because there are Christian families all over this country that are being torn apart by social media. And I'm going to tell you this. You go around and you see people just scrolling through their phone looking at stuff. Looking at stuff. It's just over and over and over. Desire to be deceived. And if you're doing it this week, you find yourself doing that, you remember what I said. You remember what the Word of God says. The heart desires to be deceived above all things. You say, well, there's some good things on social media. Yes. But the bad far outweighs the good. It far outweighs the good. There's people being deceived all over. Know that we would not just stand back and say, man, thank God I'm not like that. No, that we would understand and we would see these things in ourselves and we would run to Christ. We would run to Him. The heart desires to be deceived above all things. The third thing is this, that the heart is the most easily deceived. The heart of man is the most easily deceived above all things. The most easily. We had a beagle. It's probably been about 7 or 8 years ago. Susie died. She was a beagle of ours. And that dog was the heart. You couldn't deceive her. You just couldn't deceive her. We had a pen for her, and it was occasionally we'd need to put her up. She'd run rabbits at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it was ridiculous. And she'd bring them right up by the window, just howling her head off, and bring them right up by the window, and act like, why aren't you coming out here and shooting this rabbit? But she was, you couldn't deceive her. You'd walk outside when you just wanted to pet her. And you could walk right up to her and pat her on the head. She'd wag her tail and just be the friendliest little dog ever. But if you meant to put her up, you could put on that face, hey, how are you doing, doggy? You put on that face, she knew exactly what you were doing. You couldn't deceive her. She'd take off running. She'd be gone. You'd never see her until she started running a rabbit again. Deer, kind of the same way. I grew up in Montana hunting deer. And a lot of you do that around here, I'm sure. And deer have like three different things. They gotta have a place to bed down, a safe place. They need a water source and they need a food source. And if somehow you can get in that between those things, you can deceive them. You can. And it's not easy. And the big bucks are hard to deceive. They are. It seems like they didn't get big for no reason at all. I mean, they're smart and they're hard to deceive. There's about a 3 week window in there though, in hunt season, that they're not that smart. They're not that smart, and it's the rut and they're running after the females. It's mating season for the deer. They're running after them, and they're flat dumb. They'll run right out in the middle of a cornfield. You can be standing there and they'll run right in front of you and you can just shoot one. So they're easily deceived then, but why is it that man is so easily deceived? Because there's 1,000 different things in our lives we're running after. There's 1,000 of them. And they're all over the place. And the more we put into our lives, the more easily we are deceived. Do you think Satan's not working in that? You think he's not? Oh, I guarantee you he is. I guarantee you. Oh, the heart is the most easily deceived above all things. But the number four, and the thing that I believe this is teaching us mostly is this, that the heart is deceitful above all. That word things there in the King James, if you look at it, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's italicized. It's because it was not in the original. And the word all is, what is that? Paul the Apostle says Christ is all. Christ is all. Now the heart of natural man is deceitful and wants to usurp itself above the all. It wants to be God. It wants to save itself. It wants to be its own redeemer. It wants to be its own savior, its own God. See, that's the heart of natural man. That's what it all comes down to. If you turn over to Isaiah 14, remember the Lord Jesus Christ looked at those Pharisees and he said, you are of your father, the devil.
And what we need to understand is by nature, naturally speaking, that can be said of us. But listen to what Isaiah 14 verse 12 says about Lucifer. It says in verse 12 of Isaiah 14, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." See, that's how deceitful the heart of man is. "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." See, that's the deceit of the heart of man. And then it goes on. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." What does that mean? Well, desperately wicked, I believe, just means it's beyond cure. There's no cure for it. God doesn't restore your old heart. We know that, right? God doesn't come in and just clean up your old heart. We're restoring a house for Ethan, my second oldest son. And we're working in there and we're just, you know, we're tearing out stuff. But we're still going to have the shell of it. And we're going to put studs in there and we're going to cover up a lot of stuff. And by the end of it, it's going to look pretty good. That's not what God does to your heart. So many people believe that. They do. They believe that this is the work of God. It's to help you help yourself. To help you restore your old heart. Circumcision in the Old Testament is a type of the new birth. It's the cutting away. It's an operation. You see, it's so your heart, your old heart, the heart of the Adamic man, it must be cut out and replaced. A new heart must be put in, a heart of flesh, a heart that loves God, a heart that loves the things of God. Isaac and Ishmael, it's a good picture of that in the Old Testament. And how it is that Ishmael was the first son. And when Isaac came along, you remember that Ishmael needed to be cut out. Remember what Sarah said? He said, "Cast out the bondwoman and her son." See? That's the old heart. Must be cast out. Must be put away. Well, then there's the question here. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I think there's a lot of times we quote this passage of Scripture and we know what comes after this, but maybe some people don't really know what comes after it. And when we quote this and we say, "Who can know it?" they'll say, "Well, it's a good thing nobody knows it. Because if they did, boy, that would be bad." Well, there is one who knows it. There is one who knows it. Listen to what it says, verse 10. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I search the heart. I try the reins." See? Now those outside of Christ would say, "Oh boy. Oh boy." You know the verse, passage of Scripture in Numbers 32, verse 23. It says, "Be sure your sins will find you out." That's a promise. You see, this is a promise of God. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins." This is God's promise to His people. Do we look at that as a good thing? Do we look at that as a blessing of God? Do we understand that the Lord chastens those that He loves? That we are not bastards. That we are the children of the living God. And He tries our hearts and our reins. He searches them out. He says, "Be sure your sins will find us out." He's not going to just leave us in our sin. Yes, there are those that are going to go through this life. And they are scared their sins are going to find them out. Why? Because they think they might go to prison. That's not what that's talking about.
There are many that take their sins to the very grave, and they're going to stand before a thrice holy God, and their sins will find them out one day. But praise be to God, He reveals to His people their sin here. And He's very gracious to us, and He doesn't reveal all of them, because if He did, we'd be down on the floor and we'd never get up. But He's gracious to us, and He reveals them to us. He will not break that bruised reed. He won't do it. He won't quench the smoking flask. He won't. But He's going to reveal to us what we are. Why? Because it's our good gift to us. It's God's grace in our lives that sin is revealed. Why? That we'll run to Christ. That we will know the preciousness of the blood of Jesus Christ. That we will have assurance in our heart. I don't know. I'm sure of it. If you have claimed to be a Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there has been a time in your life where it's felt like a weight that is unbearable has been put upon you. And you cry out to God, "I'm a sinner. I am undone. I have no hope. I have no strength. I have nothing. I must have something to relieve this." And God, the Holy Spirit, through the Word, reveals Jesus Christ to us. And that burden is lifted. That's assurance. If you're looking for assurance somewhere else, if you're looking for, "God's going to search my heart." And somehow, some way, in the searching of that heart, I'm going to find out that there's no sin there. And praise God, there's no sin there, and I'm saved.
That's not the way it works. 1 John chapter 1 says these words: "If you say you have no sin, you walk in darkness, and the truth is not in you." A little bit later in that passage, it says, "If you say you have not sinned, you make God a liar, and the Word is not in you." We are sinners, and it must be revealed. And that's the grace of God in our lives. And it runs us to Christ, our Savior. Know that we would live in Him. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Who's got a hold of your reins? Who's got a hold of them? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest unto your souls." If the world's got a hold of your reins, you will have no rest. You will have no rest. The burden of this world. I try the reins. Listen to what it says. It's promise after promise. "Even to give every man according to his ways." What's your way? Is it Jesus? He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Is He going to give to you according to the way of Christ? That's my hope. That's my hope. Oh, that He would not see me in my way. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is judgment, death. Oh, by grace, my way is Christ. My way is Christ. "To give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Of his doings. Whose doings do you trust in? The doings of Christ. The doings of Christ. His humility. I think we, a lot of times, today I got humility worked out a little bit. Boy, God's gracious to me. He's gracious to me. He shows me real quick that no, you don't have humility worked out. You're as proud now as you've ever been. In fact, you're more proud. That's probably not very good English, but that's the way I say it. You're a proud, proud, proud man. But my hope is that I reside
in Christ, who is my humility. Perfect humility. Perfect legal humility before God. Never one ounce of pride in the man Christ Jesus. His love. Is that your doing? His love. Oh, I think I got love all worked out. Thank you very much. No, you don't. No, you don't. I pray God will be gracious to us and show us that. That we would trust in His love. His love. His obedience. I'm pretty obedient. No. His obedience. His obedience. According to the fruit of His doings. These things will be seen in God's people's lives. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you're going to go through your life. You're going to live your life and the fruit of the Spirit will not be seen in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is going to be seen in God's people's lives. It is. But it's the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 11. Listen to this. This is beautiful. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not. So what's the picture here? The picture is you got this hen, this mother hen, who's sitting on this bunch of chicks. She's got these chicks under her wings. But they're not hers. They're not hers. They weren't her eggs. And she just came over and she plopped herself down on them. She's sitting on something that's not hers. There's a lot of Christians out here that are trusting in their own works. They're trusting in their own way. They're trusting in everything but Christ, and they're claiming the promises of Scripture. They're claiming the riches of Christ, but they're trusting in themselves for it. They're not theirs. They're not theirs. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right. Who is the right one? It's Christ. He is the right one. He is the right way. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Martin Luther wrote that song. If not the right man is on your side, right? So he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days. As soon as trial comes, as soon as trouble comes, this man who has got these riches that he claims are his, he'll leave them. He'll leave them as soon as trial comes, as soon as temptation comes. He'll leave them. Shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at the end shall be a fool. If you're trusting in your own righteousness, if you're trusting in yourself, in the end, that's what's going to be said of you. You're a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, let me show you the opposite of that. Turn over to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, because I want you to see this. So this is so beautiful. Luke chapter 13. Turn over to verse 34. Scripture says in Luke chapter 13, verse 34, O Jerusalem, this is Christ speaking, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Ye would not. Why? Why wouldn't they come? Why wouldn't they come under the wing of Christ? Why wouldn't they come? John 6, verse 44 says, no man cometh to me except the Father which sent me draws him. The Scripture says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. God's people, the riches of God. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You know who that joy was? That joy is his people. It's His people. It's you, it's me, those that are in Him. His church, His bride, His elect, His loved ones. And He, when He comes, and by right, and Jesus is the rightful King, He has done all things well, He has done all things in perfection, He has done all things right, and His people are His. And all of the promises of the kingdom, all of the riches of the kingdom, heavenly riches, spiritual riches, they're all ours in Christ Jesus, rightfully. Because He gained the right. He went to the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood. He redeemed His people. He paid the price perfectly for His people, rightfully. And listen to this. This one who gets them not in the right way, He's going to leave them in the midst of the days. Not Christ. Not the one that's gained them rightfully. He'll never leave you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never do it. He said, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst. I'll be right there. Now that word midst there, I want you to understand something about it. It's the middle. See, so often I think we hear that verse and we say, well, Christ is right here in the middle of us. But it's deeper than that. The midst is the heat. It's in the heat of the day, the middle of the day. See, when the heat is coming down, the trial and the temptation and the trouble that God's people will find themselves in, that's where Christ meets His people. He'll meet them right there. You remember that woman at the well? That Samaritan woman at the well? Remember what Jesus said up there in John chapter 4, at the first part of John chapter 4? He said, I must needs go through Samaria. There's a reason why I need to go through Samaria. There's a woman I'm going to find this woman at this well in Samaria. And this woman came to that well when? In the middle of the day. In the midst of the day. Why did she come there in the midst of the day? She was a sinner. That's why she came in the midst of the day. She came in the heat of the day because all of the other women in town came in the morning when it was nice and cool, or they came in the evening when the sun was going down to get the water. And she didn't want to be there when all them good women were there. She came in the midst of the day, in the heat of the day, when she would be by herself. Well, praise God, Christ came and found her in the midst of the day. He came and found her. And He came to that well, and that woman stood there, and He said, if you'd asked me, I'd give you living water. I'm telling you this morning, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your temptation, you ask Him. Just ask Him. He said, if you'd ask me, I'd give you living water. He's here. You say, I'm struggling this morning. He's here. He promised it. He promised He would be here. And He's here. He's here. You ask Him. You ask Him. He'll give it to you. He'll give you living water. He'll reveal to you Himself in the Scripture. That's our life. That's our life. He'll heal you. I'm not promising this healing that this health, wealth, and prosperity doctrine out here is promising. I'm not promising that. He'll actually heal you. This old flesh is going in the ground. It's on its way there. I can feel it every time I get up. And brother, we can use all the creams we can. We're still going to feel it, aren't we? We're still going to feel it. We may be able to slow it down just a tiny bit, but we're on our way. We're on our way to the grave. Praise God, we're on our way to the grave. Because the less a corn of wheat falleth in the ground and dieth, it abideth alone. It abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And oh, in Christ, one day we'll meet Him. We'll meet Him. Oh, I pray to God that we will run to Him.
that we'll run to Him in the midst of our trouble, in the midst of our trial. Don't forget that picture. Don't forget it. He's the rightful heir of His people. He has done all things well. They're His. He'll never leave you. Never will. His wings cover His people. They do. You trust Him. You trust Him. Lord bless you.